If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. I am Diane Allen, your host. My roles as ambassador, author, speaker, and intuitive mentor for bright and talented people are woven into each episode. I have the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire as I have been there and I understand your unique intensities, sensitivities, and challenges. Welcome. Pay attention. Hi, friends. It's Diane here to speak with you about the essence and the importance of paying attention. Now, we all know there's lots of levels of this conversation of paying attention to just talking or paying attention to what's going on in our home or our community or our world. And then there's paying attention to what's going on within us. Or maybe even paying attention where we're trying to understand our deepest understanding. We're trying to really experience that deepest understanding that we can possibly fathom to our essence. And so this episode is going to be about this, paying attention. I always like to say when I'm sailing, to pay attention to what you're affecting. That on a lot of the boats I race, there's, you know, sometimes 6, 8, 12, 14 of us on the crew. And when we have new people, and sometimes I have to remind older veteran sailors, but mostly it's the newer people, that you will hear me say, pay attention to what you're affecting. Because for every line someone pulls or releases, or for every sail that goes up or goes down, or all of the different facets in sailboat racing, something else is being affected. The foredeck position up in the very front of the boats, one of the most dangerous because they could drop the big spinnaker pole, which weighs a lot, and clock you on the head and harm you, which I've seen people clocked on the head with that many times. So it's pay attention to what we're affecting. It's pay attention to what we're affecting by our driving habits, by driving fast or slow or changing lanes a lot, or maybe not using our turning signal, or maybe being impatient and allowing ourselves to give our bodies and our minds inner messages about that person's a bad driver or this is wrong or everybody get out of my way. You know what I'm talking about. You've done it too. And then there's paying attention to our being, our own essence. Like, are you breathing right now? And how deep are your breaths? Do you feel fully rejuvenated? Do you find yourself holding your breath a lot and have to remind yourself that breathing more than just enough to sustain life is good for us, right? Do you know how hydrated you are? Are you paying attention to all of these things? And then, of course, there's paying attention to that deeper inner self, our connection to the greater universe, our connection to all that is. You know, Einstein said everything's connected to everything. And Leonardo da Vinci said a very similar quote. So I'm thinking when science and artists and all different people in this deep pondering state will say everything's connected to everything, there's some validity in it, even if we don't understand it yet. Like, I'm always seeking my deepest understanding, which is raising my vibration, if you will. So there's always questions. There's always something to be curious about. There's always room to grow. There's always something. And the point here is that the more we pay attention to these truths, to these understandings, to these concepts, to these experiences, then our lives become more fulfilled and more amazing. We can connect with other people in a more fulfilling way. We smile more, and we have more ease and grace and poise in our world. Because the truth is, everyone has something going on. Everyone is dealing with something. I know some people who are dealing with some pretty serious medical diagnoses. I know some people who are dealing with family struggles. I know some people who are dealing with addiction. I know personally people dealing with these things. And I know personally people that are dealing with just kind of old, complicated grief and not feeling so great. I know people who are dealing with the difficulty of being gifted and not sure how to interact with the world. And people who have different neurodiverse situations happening and they're not really sure where they fit in. So we all are dealing with something. You're dealing with something. I am dealing with something. We all are. Things within us, things in the community, things in our families, and things in the world at large. So I want to give you some things to try, some things to do to help you pay attention. Heads up. Pay attention to what you're affecting. And when you set that stage and that's the expectation in your world, people will be given permission just by your behavior for themselves to pay attention. Now, I'm talking here about paying attention and not being in the place of judgment, not being in the place of saying, well, I'm paying attention and that person's wrong. We should probably more effectively say I'm paying attention and become curious about what it is we're hearing or seeing or experiencing so that we can have a better understanding. That seems to be more effective. So here we go. Here are some suggestions for you. Now, some of them sound kind of trite. I'm going to explain a little bit of them because I think it's just important sometimes to get back to the basics. You know, people who study martial arts do the basic things often, no matter how skilled they are. It's important that we get back to the basics. It's important that we practice the building blocks of the things that we stand on as we grow. So the first thing I want to talk about is slowing down. Slowing down how fast we drive, slowing down how fast we move through things, slowing down our breathing with intention, slowing down all different parts of our interactions with ourselves and others. Simply slowing down. Now, I started doing this more intentionally in the last few months. And what I've noticed is that the message in my head previous, it was like, you have to get this done. You have to get this done. And it was stressing me out because there were so many things to do because there's so much going on that I noticed that when I intentionally slowed down, that the same things are getting done in the same way. And I'm not stressed out. Because when you're not forcing yourself and pushing yourself and rushing yourself, you can actually be intentional and you get more done and you are feel more happy. So practice slowing down. Drive a little slower maybe this week, right? Maybe walk a little bit slower when you're going on your walk. Now, not just for exercise, but go and enjoy the springtime weather or go enjoy just the beauty of the clouds and notice. Slow down. Number two is to keep calm. Oh, that's really funny. I put this down on here funny because I think it's funny in a way. I mean, it's a goal, right? But if you're highly intense and you're intensely sensitive and you're somebody with a lot of overexcitabilities, then keeping calm sometimes can feel like a trick or sometimes it's the one thing that saves us from making poor decisions or having a tough day if we would just simply learn how to breathe and slow down. Keep calm. Notice, you know, if you're wearing a watch that tells you what your pulse is, then check your pulse every once in a while through the day. I noticed one time when I went to speak in a town when I was still living in Florida, that was and the next town over, and it was a lot of traffic between me and where I had to go, and I had to be there at rush hour. It was all crazy. And on the way back, I was from home, which was about an hour and 10 minutes. I was driving, everything was fine. So later on that day, I looked at what my pulse was, and I looked at, you know, where my calorie burn was for the day. And I noticed that I had all of this cardio. I'm like, I didn't go to the gym today. I had to go speak this morning. I didn't even go to the gym that day. But I looked. And the place where the cardio was where I was driving home through the crazy traffic. So that showed that my system was not very calm while driving that little trip. So practice breathing and staying calm. Practice reminding yourself that you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, I'm just glad I got the cardio in, but that's not the way I want to do it. And I haven't had that situation since then, because the moment I had that awareness, I made changes. So that's the key in all this. The moment we have awareness, we make changes that serve us. The next thing, the third thing, is to take it easy. I think that's an Eagle song, I think, from the 70s. But we want to take it easy. One of the things that's important for gifted people, for intense people, for fast-moving people, is we tend to move way too fast and take things more difficultly. And so sometimes just giving ourselves permission to take it easy. Relax. Kick your feet up. Take some time off social media. Turn your phone off for a little while. Go out and have a meal and eat slowly and take it easy. Take your time. Allow yourself to connect with somebody that you really care for and make it easy. Play with your pets and take it easy. Allow yourself to give yourself a break to just relax and take some time for you in whatever way that looks like. Earlier today, I spent several hours with no electronic engagement at all. And I knew I had things to do. And I knew they were going to happen later because it was a take it easy kind of morning. You know, it was one of those days where it's kind of rainy. And so it's perfect for relaxing and reading. And for me, I was playing with my dog. Take it easy. Now, the fourth thing is really a good one because it's have fun. Now, everything is fun when we make it fun, right? We can make anything fun, even things that are tricky or difficult or hard. We can make them fun because we can use our mind and our creativity to allow ourselves to see the fun in everything. Sometimes it's just a silly walk. Sometimes it's in our mind creating fun so that whatever difficult physical thing we're going through doesn't feel so hard. Sometimes it's about being like a little kid and playing. When I was in college, we used to go to one of those all-night grocery stores that had everything in it. And we would go to the toy aisle and we would play in the middle of the night for a little while. And then we'd go back to studying. Time to have fun. Change up the colors you wear. Change up all different kinds of things. Play a game. Anything that brings fun and joy into your life. Because the research shows that when you're having fun and you bring play into your life, then you can learn things faster, you grow faster, things work better. So I like to have fun in my mind all the time. I used to work in a psychiatric emergency room and talk about stress, and it was one of my first jobs too. I didn't even realize how stressful it was until I had a job that wasn't that stressful. And so we were always having fun in our inner world so that we could help people in extreme psychiatric crisis and not lose our cool and not get stressed out and not make poor decisions. And sometimes the fun is what pen I'm using and it feels good on my hands. And so it's fun. So it doesn't have to be a game or trite or negative. It's about elevating your own energy in the situation. Then there's, of course, playing. Skipping down Main Street of Disney World, skipping around your block, all kinds of things that give you play. Now, if you ever want to, go swing. Go find a playground and go swing, because swinging is really good for you, actually. It helps harmonize the brain, so it's actually very healing, too. You could dig. You could make sandcastles. Anything that is play-oriented. So think about the things you liked to do in the form of play when you were about, 6, 7, 8 years old. And then do that again. You know, I used to love to build things. And it was fun, like Legos and Lincoln Logs. And I used to love to do puzzles because you could see it come together, you know, creating something like that. And so I've started doing some of those things again to play. Oh, and don't forget Those of you who know me, I have two Slinkies on my desk. An original Slinky that's metal from my childhood, and then somebody gave me this Slinky that's plastic, that's bigger, that has a different sound. So playing with Slinkies, you know, finding things that bring that joy into your spirit, that joy, that little smile. Like I can feel myself smiling when I think about Slinkies because they're fun. So bring play into your world. And the next one is to breathe. To use your breath in the manner that it was designed, and that was to supply you with the oxygen needed for all of your cells to have a great life, for you to go beyond existence and go into living fully. So we can use our breath to rest, to calm ourselves. We can use our breath, our fire breath, to energize ourselves. And we can pay attention to the inflow and outflow of oxygen and the rhythm with which our body's breathing to remind us not to hold our breath. Because when you're holding your breath, what you're doing is you're mitigating pain. So many people who are grieving or have other pain in their world, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, any kind of pain, typically they hold their breath a lot because breathing, holding our breath, mitigates the pain. So it's important to breathe. It's important to allow yourself to find that rhythm of your breath. Maybe close your eyes sometimes and just breathe and feel the temperature difference of the air going in and the air going out. Or maybe even noticing where you feel your breath in your body. Do you feel your breath at the back of your throat, at your nostrils? Are you breathing with your mouth and you feel it in your mouth? How are you breathing? And are you tuned into it? Because if you're tuned into the rhythm of your breathing, then when you start to hold your breath because there's something stressful or painful, you'll notice it faster and be able to re-regulate your nervous system better. If you're tired and you need energy and you know how you can use your breath and do some fire breathing, you will immediately give your body energy. It doesn't need candy or sugar or caffeine. It needs air. So your breath is really mighty and really powerful, and you are in full control of it. So time to get really aware of what's going on with your breathing. I was running a group one time, and we were in one of the substance abuse centers I worked in, and I don't even remember the content of what I was talking about now, but I remember that it was so palpable that so many people in the room were holding their breath that I finally stopped. I said, would you guys breathe? Everybody breathe. Take a breath. And I had everyone breathe with me, and they were all like, wow, we really were holding our breath. I mean, I could feel the tension in the air from everyone holding their breath. Because when we're hurting on any level, we tend to hold our breath. The next one is to unplug. This is one that I have grown to love more and more in the last year or two. And that is unplug. Unplug from social media, unplug from the phone, unplug from the world. If you want to, go out and be someplace or do something where you can be not a tether to some electronic device. You know, I remember years ago, you know, the beepers. I don't know if you guys will remember this, but when we used to have beepers instead of cell phones, and we had to have lots of dimes with us, I think it was at the time, or maybe quarters, so that if we got beeped to a phone number, then we would have to call that phone number back. And my boyfriend at the time realized if he beeped me and beeped 143, it meant I love you. So he would send me little I love yous through the beeper with vibrating 143. You know, and he'd find little ways to communicate. But it's really interesting because when you're unplugged and you're not tethered to something electronic, you can regulate, your system can relax. You can pay attention on deeper levels to your experience, to your energy, to your essence. You can pay attention to what's going on around you and to the impact of things with people you care about. It's much easier, much, much easier when you unplug. So you don't have to unplug for long periods of time unless you want to. You could unplug for a few hours or maybe a day or part of a day. You pick. But give yourself a chance to get a break from the tether. The next one is to go outside. Like, go outside, put your feet on the grass or on the earth or on the sand, not on concrete or asphalt, but on the earth. Put your feet on the earth. Feel the temperature, the texture. Is it dry or wet? Like, it's been raining here today, so it's wet and it's a little chilly. And the grass feels really yummy because it's so moist and a little bit cool on my feet. It's beautiful. But go outside. I like to go outside and look up and look at the stars and look at the moon. And from my front yard, I can look straight up and see the Big Dipper and the North Star beautifully most nights if there's no clouds. How cool is that, right? And see all the constellations. Watch the phases of the moon. Go outside at dusk or dawn and see how many different shades of green you can see and watch them change. Give yourself permission to be outside with no roof over your head and just experience the power, the presence, and the elegance of nature herself, whatever that looks like. The next one is to meditate. That meditating is really vital. And there's so many different kinds of ways to meditate. Most of the clients I work with have physical overexcitabilities. So to start them out by saying you're going to sit calmly and breathe, they will go crazy at first. But what they can do is they can do an activity in a rhythm. They can run in a rhythm or swim in a rhythm or even walk with a pace in a rhythm where they attain a meditative state, but their body is still moving. And then we graduate to sitting if that even works, right? Like, I know I meditate when I swim laps. I can dive in, and by the second lap, I am in a meditative state and in a groove. And I will lose track of time sometimes or even how far I've gone because I just can feel it. So we want to practice that on different kinds of meditation. There's an open-eyed meditation where you're gazing at something beautiful. I like to look at candle flames or a flower, and just gaze there and loosen our eyes a little bit and allow them to relax and just be there with the thing you're gazing at. That's a form of meditation. So there's all different kinds of meditations, and there's guided meditations, and there's mindful meditations. But the point is, meditate. Have a protected and dedicated time that you go apart from the world for a while and just settle in to you, to your life, in the best way you can. Some days it'll be different than other days. It's okay. Remember, there's no wrong way. Some days I love to just sit and be quiet for quite a period of time and really receive that inner guidance and the inner messages. And sometimes my meditation is more of like a rhythmic walk through nature where I get to just be intentional about putting my feet on the ground and experiencing nature and being in a groove. And sometimes my meditation is swimming, where my rhythm of my stroke and my kicking puts my physical being and my emotional and mental being all on the same aligned path. Because the point of meditation is alignment, alignment of our soul, our heart, and our mind. So you can achieve that in many different ways. So meditate. And then the last one I want to talk about is relaxing. Relaxing. Kick your feet up and relax. I not long ago bought a recliner so I could just do that. Put my feet up and relax. And now I have a small dog and she'll jump in my lap and relax with me. You know, and sometimes I like to relax by getting in my car and driving on a beautiful scenic road and just being quiet and experiencing and feeling the nature around me while I'm driving and relaxing. And sometimes relaxing is sitting outside on the patio and having a nice beverage. I love to drink black tea with lots of ice in it and just enjoy the taste and the sensation of the beverage, or sometimes sparkling water or something, right? So what do you do to relax? Sometimes I relax by sewing or writing. All different things can help you relax. The point is, if you're paying attention to you, you know what activities you can do or not do that create a space of relaxation for you. So the whole idea here, paying attention, is to use any one of these things or other things or any combinations to help you pay attention on deeper levels. Paying attention first to your inner landscape. How's your heart doing? Is there any unresolved grief or pain or anger that needs to be handled? How's your heart doing in the sense of joy and freedom and fun? How's your spirit, your soul doing? That's your connection to the greater good. That's your connection to why you're here on earth. How is that part of your life? And how is your mind doing? Are you paying attention to the thoughts you feed yourself? Are you feeding yourself self-deprecating or negative thoughts? Are you feeding yourself what sounds like humor, but it's really sarcasm, so it's not humor? What's your thinking like? Do all people have a safe trip through your consciousness? What is it like in there? Pay attention. And then pay attention to your home and your vehicle. How do you feel when you walk in any room? How do you feel? And allow yourself to bring things into alignment. And then pay attention to the place you live, the community, the area. Do you feel safe? Do you love it there? Are you happy? Do you yearn for something more? Paying attention is important. And then we want to pay attention to the greater, right? To our countries, to the world in general, to all the different places that we are, and knowing that everything's connected to everything. So my question for you, after talking about all of this, is what are you going to do? What are you going to do to pay more attention, to pay even deeper attention, so that as you live out your intentions and you take action, everything comes together for your highest good? What are you going to do to pay attention to your highest truth, to that deeper understanding, as deep as you can go, as deep as you can fathom? What are you going to do? How are you going to pay attention to what's going on around you and not get caught up in the sensationalism or the dramas or the judgment, so that your paying attention can serve you rather than distract you? Those are the questions. So I hope this episode has been helpful. I know that I've been thinking about this whole idea of paying attention to what I'm affecting a great deal lately. And so that's why I thought I'd share it with you. And as always, feel free to email me or set up a call, and I'm happy to talk to you about this or any other topic. I love connecting with people, and it's really fun to talk about things that matter in our worlds. So until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, remember to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you, because you are a rock star and you're here on purpose with a mighty, mighty purpose. So go out there and pay attention, slow down, have a little fun, stay in alignment, and watch your world become even more amazing than you already are. Until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, be well. Are you tired of searching for someone to understand you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, and talented. I share my insights and teachings, and you can connect with others in a real, authentic, safe forum. So join us today. Someone Gets Me.